children's Sunday school classes. The preschoolers will be singing for us, and the kindergarten through junior high will be sharing with you in the musical Angels Aware. To begin our morning, we'd like to join our voices in singing and turn to hymn number 197, Angels We Have Heard on High. Please stand.
Thank you.
this time, I'd like our ushers to come forward. We'll take our Sunday school offering. Your heads in prayer. Oh Lord, we just thank you for these gifts that have been given to be used for your works, and we just thank you, Lord, during this Christmas season for the memory of the birth of your Son, that we might have everlasting life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please join me in turning to the hymnals, the hymn number 201, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. We'll do verse 1 and 3.
Thank you. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, special guests and special friends. We're glad you've come to be with us to celebrate this Christmas. My name is Gabriel, and have I got a lot to tell? So take a special trip with me back through time and centuries.
For you is about the first Christmas. But before you start thinking shepherds and wise men, I need to tell you that this Christmas story is one you've never heard before. That's because we're going to step back in time. Time before the shepherds and wise men, before the manger, even before my visit to Mary. We're going to step all the way back to when the angels found out about the birth of Jesus. After all, that's when Christmas really began. First thing I need to do is introduce you to the main characters in this little history lesson. First, there's Michael. He's the archangel. Now there's only one archangel in heaven. And in case you haven't guessed, that means she's pretty important. In fact, next to God, she's kind of the head honcho around here.
Thank you all for coming today. I have a very important announcement to make.
Next, there's Sarah. She's the head of the seraphim. And a bit of a know-it-all, I'm afraid.
The seraphims came as soon as we got your message, Michael. And as you can see, my entire delegation is here.
Splendid, Sarah.
You also need to know who Cherry is. She's the head of the cherubim and a real angel.
Michael, we're so honored that you included us.
Well, of course you're included. I wanted all the angels here.
Next, there's Harold. He's in charge of the herald angels. Or should I say, the herald angels are in charge of Harold.
Harold, I'm glad your delegation could be here.
Thanks, Michael. Why did he say he called us here?
He has an important announcement to make.
Oh, that's right. Glad to be here.
And last but not least, there's Moses and Isaiah. They're the head of the delegation of the major and minor prophets.
It's a beautiful day for a meeting, isn't it, Michael?
Too many clouds to me.
Yes, Isaiah, it is a beautiful day for a meeting.
Still say there's too many clouds.
Well, it looks like Michael is ready to tell us why we've all been called here, so I better scoot and give this horn a toot.
My fellow angels, we've got a problem.
It's right here. Eye trouble, everybody. what's gonna become of all this eye trouble? Eye trouble. Nobody cares about his fellow man. Eye trouble is what trouble is getting out of hand. It's getting out of hand. It's getting out of hand. Getting out of hand. Getting out of hand.
Don't tell me about eye trouble.
What do you mean, Moses?
I spent 40 years in the boonies with those self-centered wilderness wanderers.
Oh, yes. I remember your problems. As I recall, you and the children of Israel never did see eye to eye.
Very funny. But you're right. It was bad news.
How bad was it?
It was so bad, the Lord had to come down to earth just to get their attention.
Perfect, but man wasn't.
You'd better believe it. After all the trouble the Lord went through to show man how to live close to him, they still kept worshiping their other gods, making graven images, taking the Lord's name in vain.
Calm down, Moses, calm down. Everyone knows what a bad time you had. It was bad news for all us prophets.
How bad was it?
It was so bad, I had to constantly be telling the people God had a plan. You see, that's the good news. God has always had a plan. Why, that's probably what Michael is leading up to now.
I don't know, Isaiah. You always were an optimist.
Of course I was. I still am, because I got something to be optimistic about. And if all the angels will help me out, I'll tell you what I told all my people all those years ago.
To God, you and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel, but they didn't listen to you guys either.
You would have to remind us. Okay, Moses, I'll have to admit it. Even though we were the major leaders, we struck out too.
Yeah.
As you can see, God used Moses, the major prophets, and the minor prophets to tell the people how to live close to God, but none of them succeeded, and things have gotten so bad.
How bad was it?
Cut that out. Now, as I was saying, things have gotten so bad that God has decided to put into action the plan of the centuries. An announcement like this demands a fanfare, Gabriel. I am happy to announce that God has decided to go to Earth.
What?
What's really
I don't believe it.
Yes, but that was before there was any
But God hasn't lived on Earth since creation.
Yes, but that was before there was any eye trouble.
That's right. Don't you remember everything was beautiful on Earth? Man felt so close to God, God walked with Adam and Eve. In the cool of the evening, there was no sin, no death, just peace and happiness. Then that old stinker, Lucifer. He decided that he had to be as powerful as God, so of course God had no choice but to kick him and his whole rotten crew out of heaven. And things have been fine ever since.
Of course they have, but that wasn't the end of Lucifer. Since he went to Earth, things there have gone from good to bad to worse.
Sure, but everyone knows the devil's gonna get it in the end.
Of course he will, but in the meantime, God has got to find a way to be close to man again.
We understand that, Michael, but does he actually have to go down to the earth and live among them?
Yeah, why would he want to do that?
Why?
Why would he leave a place where angels fly to deliver and walk to and fro? I just wanna know. Why would he leave a glorious fire and light to live in a place that's just so? I just wanna know.
I know. It doesn't make sense to us, but there's a very good reason why God would make such a great sacrifice.
Why?
Because God loves man.
Of course, God loves everyone.
Wait a minute, I can see how God loves us. We're perfect angels, but how can he love a people who are well, let's face it, so sinful?
Like I said, it doesn't make sense to us, but the fact is, God loves people not for what they are, but for what they can be.
Well, all I can say is, that must be the best kind of love there is.
What love,
Hallelujah is right. This is the greatest thing that's ever happened.
Yeah, tell us, Michael. How is he going to get to Earth?
What's he going to be?
What'll he go as?
Well, you're not going to believe this, but I was so excited I forgot to ask. Wait just a minute. I'll be right back.
Just imagine all the ways God could go to Earth.
Yeah, God's got the power to do anything. I wonder how he'll go.
Well, it's certain you can never predict exactly what God has in mind, but it wouldn't hurt to try.
If it were up to me, I think that he should go as some kind of great hero. Someone everyone would know. He would be the greatest of all time, the one and only of a kind. Someone folks would stand in line to see. If it were up to me.
King, then he would own everything, and his praises men would sing. He would be the richest man around. People would be falling down, waiting just to kiss the ground. You see, if it were up to me,
he'd be the king.
Gonna be?
What'll he go as?
Will he be a wealthy king?
Will he be a mighty warrior?
Will he be a famous magician?
No, nothing like that.
Then how?
God is going to Earth as a baby.
A baby? A baby. There is nothing very special about a baby.
Yeah, why would he want to go as a baby?
He has a very good reason. You see, for centuries, God has been trying to accomplish something he hasn't had since creation, and the only way he can do it is to become a baby.
Oh, Michael, I feel close to him already, and he hasn't even been born yet.
That's just how he planned it. God knew that if he went to Earth as someone important in the world's eyes, a lot of people would feel that they could never approach him, never be close to him.
Then a baby is a wonderful idea.
Michael, what will his name be?
That's the best part. His name will be Jesus. It means Savior because he will save his people from dying in their sins.
In that case, everyone will want to come to him.
No, I'm afraid everyone won't come to him.
But why?
Well, it's that old eye trouble again. Some people have it so bad they are blinded to the fact that being close to Jesus is the best place to be.
Is there any cure for it?
There certainly is. All they have to do is take their eyes off themselves and look to Jesus.
Born for all men.
You were right all along. God does have a plan.
Yes, Moses, and isn't it a beautiful plan? And just think, we get to celebrate his birth with the angels, all us prophets, part of the heavenly host, praising God and singing.
Into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We are aware that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are aware that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Thank you.